God's holiness has been described as his attribute of attributes, or his chief characteristic. It is the attribute that is repeatedly declared in heaven. Listen, very classic reading of scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah said, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." Here is the verse that we want to key on. "And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." This is the repeated refrain of the angels in heaven. God is holy. Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Pastor Jeremy Wilbanks, and today we will begin talking about the most clearly stated attribute of God in Scripture, that God is holy, the holiness of God. Here we go, part one. So, how do we begin to talk about the holiness of God, something that is without question beyond our ability to search out completely? And yet we have the responsibility of doing it because God declares himself to be holy. That's one of the three things that we'll talk about in this and in following times together. Is, number one, God declares himself to be holy. Number two, the heavens declare him holy, as we just read in Isaiah 6. And number three, we are supposed to declare or worship him as holy. In fact, we will see at the very end of this discussion today that God's holiness is supposed to be the motivation, the prime motivation for our worship for him here on the earth. So how do we begin to talk about such an enormous subject? Well, we can begin by looking at sheer data, and that would sound something like this. The word holy or holiness in its different forms is used in all of Scripture approaching 600 times, if my count is correct. And it certainly has the possibility to not be correct. But if my count is correct, I counted some 587 times throughout Scripture, throughout the whole of the Word of God, 587 times where the word holy or holiness is used in English, so approaching some 600 times. That's 405 times in the Old Testament, if my count is correct, 182 times in the New Testament. But the word holy or holiness is only part of the expression of God's holiness throughout the Word of God. There are other words like that appear in English like sanctify or sanctified, and still others that carry the concept. Words like consecrate or set apart. Even words like repentance, humility, contrition, and others are all attached to the concept of God's holiness. Even the word anoint or anointing is communicating this concept. So let's begin this way. Let's talk about it this way. You can't just talk about it according to sheer data. Let's talk about it by concept, by even by literary construct. And let's talk about it by beginning where Scripture begins to talk about holiness. And the first place that we see the idea of holiness mentioned is in Exodus chapter 3. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, there's a lot going on. There's more going on with the even with the concept of holiness than we could talk about. But this is where Scripture starts. It's the first time that you see the word, the English word holy, mentioned in all of the Bible. And in Exodus chapter 3, in the previous chapters of Exodus, Moses has been born, raised, educated in Egypt, and has escaped after killing an Egyptian. And he has escaped Egypt and has traveled into Midian, married Zipporah, the daughter of Yitro, and is now a shepherd for his father-in-law in the desert. And we'll read the first five verses of Exodus 3 just to give us some context. Very familiar if you've read the Word of God at all. Even if you haven't read it, you've heard about the story of Moses. But let's just read the first five verses of Exodus chapter 3 for context. Exodus 3. Verses 1 through 5 say this: "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. There's a whole discussion there about the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. There's so much to talk about here. We're trying to get to this one place where holiness is mentioned first. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Notice this. We're going to read this verse 5 slowly. And he said, draw not nigh hither. That's one. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. Point two. For the place whereon thou standest is, for the first time we hear the word, holy ground. That's number three. Draw not nigh hither. Number one. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. Number two, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Those are the first concepts that we can see here. Holiness is going to develop into a much more profound thing, but these seem to be the introductory concepts that God's wanting to give us when he's talking about holiness. First, the idea that holy means separate. Second, that God is holy and the place where God dwells is holy. God's holy, and he only dwells in holy places. And third, there's protocol. Holiness doesn't mean, holy doesn't mean that you can't approach him. It means that you can only approach him with the protocol that he sets up. Let's take a look at them one at a time here. First, that holiness implies separation. He said, Moses, draw not nigh. And this will add to our understanding of God that holiness implies separation. Holiness means perfection. And perfection is such a difficult thing for humans to understand because we've never seen it. And we tend as human beings to worship things that approach perfection, or that we at least think approach perfection. Humans will worship athletes or images or what we in the United States would call stars. In the Western world, we would call them stars. We worship those things because they are people that seem to have mastered things on a much higher level than most people have. They are loftier. They are more capable. Perhaps we would even say they are closer to perfection, but we've never actually seen perfection. But holiness means perfection in the ultimate sense. And so even though we have difficulty grasping that, we have to kind of try. We have to work to understand it. And even with our fallen language, our fallen way of describing things, we have to try because this is what God's wanting us to understand. So when we say that holiness means perfection, when we say that God is holy, therefore God is perfect, what we mean is that God is pristine. It means that God is without blemish, without fault, without misstep. God is perfect in that he needs no improvement. He is whole in every sense of the word, with no need for addition or subtraction. As I have been taught growing up, the word holy and the word whole are connected, H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-E, holy and whole, those are connected. It's interesting that when Jesus healed people in the New Testament, he would say, be thou made whole, be thou made whole. There's an entire discussion about Jesus as creator and recreator, that when he heals somebody, it's not just, as you and I would call, a miracle where something bad was happening and now something is, that bad thing is stopped from happening. Jesus is actually returning a person to wholeness. And wholeness has to have a standard. And the standard for wholeness in humanity is being made in the image of God, which is something we talked about in the previous recording. When God makes, or when Jesus makes someone whole, when God makes someone whole, he is doing that according to a standard. And the standard is that you are whole as is to be considered the image of God. When Jesus makes someone whole, he is restoring them to the intended shape, the intended personage that they had as God intended it. So when we say that holiness means separate or holiness means perfect, we mean that it's being separate from blemish. If we say that God is perfect, we mean that there is no need for addition. There is no need for subtraction. There is nothing to improve. It is the highest standard, period. He is completely whole. He is separate from sin, separate from evil, from impurity. All of this, even if you read Exodus 3 for the first time and you can't pull that out, as you read Scripture and you come back to Exodus 3, because the Word of God is designed, in fact, impels us to read it over and over and over again. When you come back, you understand that when God says to Moses, draw not nigh, he is expressing the idea of that is built into holiness of separation. Separation from, in God's case, sin, from evil, from impurity, from imperfection. God is holy. So that's number one. That the first thing that we supposed to pick up out of Exodus 3 is that holiness implies separation. Moses, draw not nigh. Second, the second thing that we're supposed to pick up and that we pointed out as we were reading is that God is holy and where he dwells is holy. God is holy and where God dwells is holy. So Scripture assumes that when you read Exodus 3, which is the first mention of holiness in Scripture, Scripture assumes that when the reader reads Exodus 3, that they understand that the bush that burns and the ground that that bush was on was not holy in and of itself. Scripture assumes that the reader understands that God made that ground holy. God made that ground and that bush that burned, God made that holy. And the subsequent understanding is that God will always reside in a holy space. You will not see God come down, to use human language. God doesn't need to come down. He's omnipresent. We've talked about that previously, but this is anthropomorphic language. God will only come down, or perhaps we could say God will only express himself in the very present, in a holy space, a holy place. The writings of Isaiah provide one of the most direct statements concerning this idea that the holy God will only dwell in a holy place. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Listen to that. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. In other words, we mentioned this at the beginning. God declares himself to be holy. This is what it said. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. We'll get to the second part of this verse in later discussions. He dwells in a high and holy place, but there's fellowship. There's fellowship between God and his holy people. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. All of those words are connected to the idea of holiness, humility, humble, contrite, repent, turn, purify. All of those are connected to the concept of what it means to be holy. And God dwells in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So number one, concept number one is that holiness implies separation. Concept number two is that God is holy and he will always dwell in a holy place. And the third, a holy God is approachable only with certain protocol, and it's the protocol that he puts forward. This is seen. He says, Moses, draw not nigh hither. And then he says, it's a holy place for the ground whereon you're standing is holy. Then he gives him some protocol. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, Moses, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And we will get into this as we delve further into the topic of God's holiness as we go along. This is too great of a subject to just do in one session. So let's just do it that way. We'll delve into the protocol. And as we go further along, for now, we could see this, that the holiness of God is declared in the heavens and is the primary motivation for human worship on the earth. It's declared in the heavens. God declares it. I am holy. I am God and I am holy. He declares it. The heavens declare it. This was our opening verse today where the prophet Isaiah records these words, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. There's that separateness again. and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, verse 3 said, and one cried unto another. Their six wings, with two they covered their face, two they covered their feet, and they flew with the remaining two wings, and they cried one unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is what's on repeat in heaven. God declares that he is holy. The heavens declare that he is holy. And God's holiness is the primary motivation for you and I, for humans to worship him on the earth. One example, and there are many, I'll read one. One example of this is Psalm 99, verse 9. It says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. There's the holy place. For the Lord our God is holy. Worship at his holy hill because he's holy. God's holiness is the primary motivation for human worship. If we're going to worship him right, the thing that's supposed to motivate it is not what he can do for us. Not whether or not he can meet our needs, whether or not he can defeat the enemy, whether or not he can open the right door, close the right door, etc. The primary motivation is that when we look at him, we recognize his perfection. We recognize that nothing needs to be added and nothing needs to be subtracted. The primary motivation for our worship as human beings, as children of God, is that we have seen the holiness of God and we understand that he has declared it and the heavens declare it, and now on the earth we declare it. It is the primary motivation for our worship. It's God's perfection. Holiness is God's perfection. And when we behold it properly, that should inspire our worship. His holiness is declared in the heavens, and let it be so on earth as it is in heaven. God bless. We'll see you next time.